I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We are going to, for the next few weeks, probably 4 to 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at a series that I've titled, Getting in Shape. You know, this is the time that everybody's making their resolutions. And so I thought that this would be a good time for us to talk about getting in shape. So after service, for the next 4 services, I'm going to be in the back selling some kind of food supplement. I can't even think of one now. Marie Osmond could not make it for our services, so I'm going to have to fill in for her. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. King James Version puts it this way, though the outer man is decaying, the body is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. You know, the gyms are packed right now. Those who made New Year's resolutions to lose weight and to get in shape have now joined the gym, and they'll be there for the next 2 to 3 months. And then their enthusiasm is going to fade, and things are going to occur that's going to take the place of going to the gym, and then you'll be able to get back on your machine again. Sherry goes to the gym, and you know, she'll say, I couldn't get on this machine today. There were so many people there. I said, honey, just be patient. By March 1st, they'll be gone. You'll have your machine, you know. And back in 2016, I joined a gym because I felt like I needed some regular form of exercise. And I started going about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And because I'm in sales, and I'm in sales involving some banks, my calendar is really dictated by the bankers. And so it seemed like I started getting people, I've got a client that wants to meet you at the bank at 3:30. Or I have a client that wants to meet you today at 4 o'clock. And so it was like, okay, well, I can't go to the gym at 4 o'clock, so I decided I'd start going at 5 o'clock. And you know what happens at 5 o'clock? Everybody goes to the gym. And one of the things I noticed, if you've ever joined the gym, you know that there are what I call the gym freaks. The gym freaks, and they're usually men, but they're the guys who, when they're lifting weights, they're straining and they're so loud you think they must be delivering a baby. And then the gym freak is that guy who, when he's done doing his lifts, he drops the barbell because he wants you to be impressed with how much weight he was able to do. So you hear that bam and then this jing, 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 jing. And everybody's supposed to look and go, man, I wish I could lift 25 pounds. And if you look around at the gym freaks, and this is where the females come in sometimes, their clothes are too tight, their voices are too loud, and they're sweating like they're in a sauna. So you've got to walk around with a towel and dry down everything they've been on. So I stopped going to the gym. I tell people now, Sherry gets up every morning a little after 6 and she goes out for a walk. If it's above 32 degrees, she goes for a walk. And I tell people, they say, do you go walk? And I do. I walk right to the coffee maker. When I turned in my little key fob to the owner, he said, keep it because you'll be back. I see it every morning on my chest drawer. It's still right there. You know, this is that season we focus on getting our bodies in shape. You know, we get on the scale and we think, oh my goodness, you know, I ate too many cookies over Christmas. I got to lose some weight. And so we focus on our bodies. We want our bodies to be in shape. We want our bodies to last. We're always talking about our bodies. I'm taking this medication or I'm doing this or I'm taking that or I've decided to take this supplement and I'm going to, you know, we focus on our bodies. And then we focus on our minds. We want to expand our minds. We don't want to stop, growing intellectually. And so We go to college, we get degrees, we read books, we study. You know, we're like Manuel, who just decides, I just want to go to school, to school, to school, to school, you know? So Manuel is finishing up his second master's. Now he's decided he wants to be a doctorate, have his doctorate. So he's going to go on, but his head's going to get so big he can't put a hat over it. But what about your inner man? What about your spirit? What do we do to get our spirit in shape? Very rarely do we ever say, you know, I got to get my spirit in shape. Man, I'm getting lazy spiritually. I got to get my spirit in shape. We talk about our bodies. We talk about our minds. We talk about how we want to grow our intellect. We talk about, you know, I want to understand, you know, I want to understand the internet more. I don't want to have to call my grandchild every time I need to do something on the computer. I want to learn a little more. So we're wanting to learn. But then when it comes to our spirit man, what are we doing to get our spirit man in shape? Paul said this body is decaying. But he said the inner man is being renewed day by day. Am I renewing my inner man? Because God designed the inner man, the spirit of man, to grow, just like he designed our bodies to grow and our soul to grow. This is what Luke said in Luke chapter 1, verse 80 about John the Baptist. He said, "And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit. And he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel." And then in the next chapter of Luke, Luke says this about Jesus. "And the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." The Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, speaking of God. And this is a prayer that Paul is praying for this church. He said, "I'm praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." The inner man. We are three-part beings. We have a body. We have a soul. We have a spirit. If we had overhead today, you know, with the PowerPoint, you could imagine a triangle. And if I remember geometry, I took it in 10th grade and just despised it the whole time. But if I remember correctly, a triangle that has three equal legs, I think that's called an equilibrium. Is that equilateral? Thank you. I had the equal part right. Okay. Equilateral. That means that A is the same length as B is the same length as C. I was much better if X times 2 plus Y equals 4 and Y is 1, what's X? You know, that I could figure. But when they get in all these angles and circumferences and all that, I just lost it. Fortunately, I sat near somebody who was very smart and I had a good angle at his papers. So that worked out well. I thank the Lord for that every day in 10th grade. Thank you, Lord, that I can cheat in class. You know. But man is a three-part being. We have a body, which is the physical part of man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Psalm 78, 9, David said this, "For he," speaking of God, "he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again." And then Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh for men, another flesh for animals, another for fish, and another for birds." We all have a body. It's the physical part. And believe me, we make sure the physical part is taken care of. Yesterday, I took a wreath off of our door, and I was going to hang it up. And I don't know why I did this, because we have big hooks in the wall where I hang, you know, the weed eater and this thing. And I had one that had a big, you know, the electrical cord. It would have been a great place to hang a wreath. But no, I wanted to make it complicated. So I got out the ladder. Because we have a a rack coming across here, and I thought, you know what? If I could hook something in that rack and hang the wreath there, I don't have to move anything off the big hooks. I got the ladder out. I got it hung up, and I thought, boy, Sherry's going to be so proud of me. And have you ever had those moments where you see an accident coming? I saw it. I saw the hook begin to slip, and my brain is telling my body, grab the wreath, grab the wreath. And my body is saying, I'm trying to, I'm trying to. And about the time I reached out to grab it, it fell, and it pinched my finger in the ladder. And my finger today, my little finger is blue and swollen, and it keeps reminding me, you hurt me yesterday. Our bodies, we notice our bodies. We pay attention to our bodies. You may not ever realize you had a big toe until you stubbed it. And then you realize, oh, that's what that's for. So we're attuned to our bodies. But man also has a soul. And our soul is the emotional component of man. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions. The word that the Greeks used in the New Testament is the word psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E, is where we get our word psychology. One author said this, and I quote, the soul is considered by, in the New Testament writers, the soul is the seat of affections and will, a person's distinct identity or personality. It's our mind, our will, our emotions. In fact, the Bible says that the soul is the seat, the source, the center of our emotions. Job said this in Job chapter 10, verse 1. He said, my soul loathes my life. Psalm 42, 5, the psalmist asks a question. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Jesus said this in John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? The soul is that touchy-feely part of us. It's where we, you know, you hurt my feelings. You didn't hurt my body. You didn't hurt my spirit. You hurt my feelings. It's that place of our emotions. It's, you know, I heard somebody say something the other day. I'd never heard it before, but thought it was very appropriate. They said that I've given my mind away so much my brain has fallen out. But it's that, you know, it's that part of where we react. It's how you react when you do pinch your finger. It's how you react when somebody cuts you off in traffic. It's how you react when your grandchild says peepaw. You know, it's that thing in you, that part in you that is in touch with people emotionally. It's where your will is. It's where your mind is. It's where anger derives from. It's where love and joy and hate and peace derives from. It's that soulish part of us. But man also has a spirit. And this is the part of man that God is most concerned with. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus said this to his disciples, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And now notice, listen to what Jesus says. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then Jesus said this to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man has a spirit within him. There is an inner man. There is an inner nature that is not your mind, your will, your emotions. It's not your body. It is the spirit of man that God placed within man. Why is it important? You say, Rodney, why do we even need to talk about this. What's the importance of this inner man? Well, first of all, it's important because the inner man, this inner nature, the spirit of man is the eternal part of man. It's the part of you that's going to live forever. Yesterday, I met Robert and Cindy. We were walking through the cemetery looking at some stuff that we're going to talk to you about next Sunday. But I was looking at all the tombstones there and all the people there and the little brief history they wrote. There's one lady out there, and I can't remember the name, but at the top of it, it says mother of 15 children. Well, that told a lot about her. And then there's the children. I can remember, I've always, and I don't know, this, hope this doesn't sound morbid, I have always liked cemeteries. When Sherry and I go on vacation, if there's a cemetery nearby, not every time, I mean, I don't follow funerals, but if there's a cemetery nearby that I think's historical, I'm going to stop and get out and walk around and just look. And my mind starts going through and making up scenarios. You know, I'll see somebody, a man that was born in 1897 and he died in 1917. And here's the first thought that goes to my mind. I wonder if he died in World War I. I wonder how his parents felt when they received that telegram or somebody told them. Or you know, you'll see a child die and you think about, I wonder why this child died. What disease did they have that probably is curable today? How did their parents feel? So my mind goes, and all of us, if Jesus tarries, all of us one day are going to face death. Our body is not eternal. Your soul is not eternal. One day your mind, your will, and your emotions will stop functioning. The only part of man that is eternal is the spirit of man, the inner part of man. In fact, the writer of Ecclesiastes said this in chapter 12, verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Acts chapter 7, verse 59, they are stoning Stephen to death, and this is what it says. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The only part of you that will live forever is the spirit part of you. Your body is going to pass away. Your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions are one day going to stop. One day it's not going to matter to you whether they, you know, they have a flyover or not, or it's not going to matter to you whether who's in presidency or whatever. It's not even going to bother you anymore. One day, our mind, our will, our emotions, they're going to stop acting and stop functioning. But our spirit will live forever. The spirit is important because not only is it the eternal part of man, but it is where communication occurs. This is the part of you that God speaks to. Job said this in Job 32, verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. You can't pay attention to your body. I decided the first of the year I was going to cut sweets out for a while. And this morning in Sunday school, there was a bag of cookies laying there. And I looked at them, and my body said, oh my, my. You deserve one of those. My body told me, you should reward yourself. It's the 15th of January. You haven't had a piece of cake. You haven't had any pudding. You haven't had any pie. You haven't had a cookie. You deserve this. And my soul said, amen. It'd make me feel better if you'd have a cup. It'll make you smile inside. Wouldn't it be good with a cup of coffee? But my spirit said, I said I wasn't going to do that. That's where the communication occurs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 said this, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Your spirit is what God uses to reveal to you and I what's going on in our heart. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Have you ever felt that nudge inside of you? Like you're thinking about something, or somebody's talking to you about doing something, and there's something inside you that just says, no, I don't feel right about this. I just don't feel peace about this. I don't feel this is the right thing for us to do. You know what that is? That's not your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's not your body. That's that inner man in you. That's your spirit that is attempting to give you and I understanding and communication. So I need to pay attention to my spirit man, because not only is it the eternal part of me, not only is it where God communicates with me, but it is the one sensitive part of my three-part being. As I was studying this week, I was thinking about, you know, in your lungs, you've got the lungs, you got the bronchial tubes. But if I remember correctly, those of you who are nurses, you can correct me after service so I'm not embarrassed in front of the whole church. But I think on your lungs, there's little things that are like hairs. Nobody's nodding that's a nurse or was a nurse. There's not, Yvonne? Oh, great. So I'm wrong. But if I remember correctly, there's little things there, and their job is to keep things moving. I think maybe they're called like cilia. And their purpose is, you know, they're moving there, and their purpose is to keep stuff moving along, and they're very sensitive. Think of that as your spirit. That's how your spirit operates. When you're thinking about doing something, when you're thinking about going somewhere, and you feel a little something in you says, I don't know, I just don't feel right about this. That's the spirit in you. That's your spirit man that's sensitive to this and is communicating with you. Luke wrote this in Acts 17, verse 16 about Paul. It says, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Then Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 23, Paul said this, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit, that inner man, that inner nature, that's the sensitive part of you. That's the part of you that God is using through the Holy Spirit to communicate to you, to guide you, to lead you. And that's why it's so important that you and I make sure that our inner man, our inner nature, our spirit man is in shape, because it is so vitally important. I would never say this to those who go to the gym, but Paul wrote Timothy and he said, bodily exercise profits little. In other words, what he was saying to them is, make sure you keep the main thing, the main thing. And the body, although it's important, is not the main thing. Your mind, even though it's important, is not the main thing. Your spirit, that inner nature within you, the spirit of man that resides within you, is the main thing. Remember a few years ago, now he switched sides, but you remember a few years ago when Verizon made popular this phrase, can you hear me now? Maybe that's the question that God is asking us on January 15th, 2018. Can you hear me now? Can you hear my voice? Do you sense my nudge? Are you paying attention to me? Are you in tune with what I'm saying, with what I'm doing? Can you hear me now? What is most important to me? When I think about the triune being that I am, what's the most important thing to me? And I will tell you, I do like to make sure my flesh gets everything that it wants. I do like to make sure that my mind and my will and my emotions are expressed, that people know how I feel about something and what I think about something. My mom used to say something, and I've been training Sherry so she would say it, because Sherry, you know, is not Southern, so she's not aware of the Enlightenment, but I'm trying to enlighten her. My mom used to say this. She'd say, I'm a good of mine too. Or she would say, I'm a fixin' to. And Sherry doesn't say that. She'll say, I'm thinking about it. I said, no, you're a good of mine too. And so I'm working with her. So keep me in your prayers, because she's tough. But I like to make people know how I feel about things. But what about, am I making sure that my spirit man is getting what it needs? Am I making sure that the eternal part of me is being fed? Am I making sure that the part of me where God communicates to, that is open and attentive? Am I making sure that the spirit, my inner nature, my inner being is sensitive to God's little nudge? I believe it was the prophet Ezekiel. God was talking about the nation of Israel. And he said to them, he says, you're like a horse that has to be led by bit and bridle. He said, I'm looking for a people who will be guided by my eyes. And I thought many times, am I like a horse that has to be guided by bit and bridle? Or am I so sensitive to God that he can guide me with his eyes? Can you hear me now? We spend so much time making sure that that which one day is going to pass away is taken care of and is full and is pleased. Yet I will say, in my own life, I find that the eternal part of me that will live forever oftentimes gets the least attention. How about you? So I'm going to challenge you this year, and over the next 4 to 5 weeks as we dig a little deeper into this, I'm going to challenge you this year in joining with me and saying, not my resolution, not my hope, not my plan, but in saying with me that 2018, I'm going to focus on my spirit man. I'm going to focus on that which will live forever within me. I'm going to focus on that in which that component of me that God communicates with. I'm going to focus on being sensitive and open and yielded to him. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father God, I stand before this beautiful, wonderful congregation and confess to them, as I have confessed to you this week, that my tendency is to focus on my body, in making sure that my body is pleased and my body is happy and my body is satisfied and my belly is full and my flesh is pleased. And Lord, I also tend to focus on making sure that I'm well-read and well-versed and I'm aware of what's going on so I can converse with people and I'm not looked at as being dumb or out of touch. But Lord, what about my spirit man? What about the part of me that's going to live forever? What about the part of me that you breathed into me and placed within me, that candle of the Lord that's within me that is there so I can see my heart. Lord, how much time am I giving to that part of my body, of my being? And so, Lord, today, I pray that we as a body, as a congregation, would hear the voice of the Lord as you say to us, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear that still, small voice of God?" And I pray, Father, that all of us would choose to make 2018 the year of the inner man. The year in which we as individuals and we as a congregation turn our focus on the inner man, the spirit of man, the inner nature. That we would be reminded of what Paul said. He said, "The outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day." So I pray this today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to ask